Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and I'm delighted to introduce our leading lady. We are going to be talking about amazing women veteran entrepreneurs today. And, you know, tomorrow is Veterans Day, so I do know that in Southern California, in San Diego, there is quite a bit of love for our veterans and our military here in San Diego and Southern California. So it is my pleasure to introduce our leading lady, and I am happy to say that Denise Clark is the co-owner of Altipiano Vineyard and Winery. She is just an amazing powerhouse, and I can't wait to have a conversation to find out, number one, what it was like for her to be a female in the military, but at the same time, go from being a veteran and now to winemaker. I mean, those things just, I don't think, go together. So, Denise, say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Michelle. I'm honored to participate in your radio show, and I want to just give a great shout out to all the men and women who have served our country.
Oh, girl, and thank you, for your service. You know, I know that is so trite, but, you know, I do know how much me in the business community and through our association really want to support not only veterans, but specifically female veterans. And again, I mean, your journey is amazing. We've only had a little bit of time to talk about it, and I'm fascinated. So I'm going to start with this. I mean, how did you get, the big question, Denise, is how did you go from being a female veteran, right, opting out, getting out of the military, retiring, and then now you are a winemaker and you own a vineyard? I mean, could you share a little bit of just the highlights of the story of how you went from there to there? Because I know it's an incredible journey.
It's pretty amazing, and I still pinch myself when I think about it. We had a really horrific fire in 2007 in San Diego County where we were avocado growers. I have 5 acres and had about 1,000 trees, and they all burned during the fire. Fortunately for my husband and I, though, we had gone to Southern Tuscany earlier that year and just fell in love with the countryside. So, you know, call it fate or destiny, it really, something in the universe knew that we were destined to become vineyard owners and plant a vineyard with very little knowledge about wine or the process. But so that's what happened. The fire came through in October of 07. We immediately got in action and said, let's plant a vineyard. And so we consulted with folks that knew more about it, had a soil analysis, and from there we planted 3,600 vines. And then my husband and I looked at each other and we said, now what? It was pretty amazing journey. It really was. You're talking about jumping off the cliff and just really digging in and doing something. But I think, too, it was part of the healing. I know it helped me make peace with the land. So much had happened to friends and here in the area after the fire. So something really beautiful was a result of it. And I had a winemaker for about 2 years. He was a male, and he had a business. And anybody that knows anything about any business, you have to be hands-on. And so I'm type A personality anyway, but thank God, thank goodness, I have the palate and the nose because my husband doesn't. And so I took over in 2012. I had started going to different seminars about winemaking, and I was up in Paso Robles at a Garagiste festival, and I heard about yeast and oak, and there was this light bulb that just went off in my head. I said, oh, my goodness, Those are completely different wines. And since that point, I took over in 12, and I haven't looked back. I've just had and finished this last harvest with 25 tons of fruit that we processed this year. So I'm
crazy.
One of I know it's crazy busy, but it's all a good thing. You know, my husband and I built our 5-acre land, and it's been a family affair. My kids are involved. I'm showing my grandkids through what I do that they can go out and accomplish anything. I was 54 when I had to start a new career.
And Denise, I got like 10,000 questions in there. This is like so fascinating to me because, you know, I think for women so much and, you know, so many of our listeners are professional women. And, you know, there are times when, you know, things happen. I mean, I remember 2007. I had friends who lost homes. You know, I just want to go back to that for a moment. And when you guys said you lost your avocado grove, did you lose your house as well? I mean, was everything gone for you in 2007 when that fire came through?
We did not lose our home. What happened,
we were
very fortunate, but we were in the middle of remodeling. And we were bringing my grandmother and Peter's mother up because they were both in their 90s to live with us. So there was a lot of our, like my pictures and just family heirlooms that were out in our storage sheds that did burn. But fortunately, the house did not burn. But as I said, when you look at the totality of everything that happened, things that are in your house are just stuff. The fact that my friends survived, my family survived, I was very, very happy with that.
And, you know, not to belabor on that, just for any of us in San Diego in 2007, I mean, it's a, you know, what, 3 or 4 days that none of us will forget. And some of us, you know, were impacted in a great way. So I wanted to go back there. I think the question I've got for you is, you know, when that happened, how did you go from, like, what were maybe the steps? I know you said you'd been to Tuscany. I mean, how did you go from fire to thinking the grove, the avocado grove, then might become a vineyard? What, did you always have an interest in wine? Was it just something that popped into your head and then you started to research? Or how did you go about, what was the mindset there? Because I don't think avocados and then a vineyard, that doesn't like connect for me. What was your process for that?
I think the romanticism of owning a vineyard after seeing Southern Tuscany, because what I said was, what do we do now that all of the trees are burned? What is the next crop? So we both intuitively said a vineyard would be great. My husband originally brought it up, and I said, sure, that makes sense. So we started out with a consultant. We took some classes on vineyard management and what was the process. We had to do a soil analysis, find out what grapes could be grown, and then we sought out, because we were interested in growing the Brunello clone since we had fell in love with the Brunellos from Montalcino. So there was one nursery out of Santa Rosa, Nova Vine, that did the cloning of the Brunello that we wanted. And pretty much that started it. It told us, you know, the soil analysis told us what rootstock we should plant on, what would be our microclimate, you know, our climate. And we went from there, and we planted our whole north field, which is about 2,600 vines, are all the Brunello clone. And then I have 640 Barbera and Cab and Petite Syrah. So a total of about 3,600 plants is planted on site. We process about 10 to 12 tons of fruit a year, and then I buy other fruit from local farmers, as well as some as far away as Amador County and Napa.
And so 20 more questions. Like, for you, do you make your own wine then, or do you sell it to others for, you know, I know there's different ways you can be, quote, a vineyard and a winemaker. I'm curious go ahead.
We are a boutique winery. We process everything on site. For example, as I said, we process 25 tons of fruit, which is about 60 barrels. Each barrel holds is equivalent to 25 cases per barrel.
Wow.
So we process everything. I don't sell anywhere but on site because we're all about sustainable agriculture, you know, with urban sprawling everywhere. Fortunately, I live in an area that was an agricultural preserve, so we are all dedicated, folks that live out here, to the farming aspect. We're farmers first and foremost. I can't make a quality bottle of wine unless I'm growing a superior grape. And since we have started, that's what we focus on. We focus on quality versus quantity. And I've been approached on several occasions to distribute, but that's not where my heart is at. I want my kids and we have two daughters, two adult daughters with four grandkids. I want them to experience the aspect of living on a farm and see the labor of your hard work. And this is something they're growing up with. And it shows. It shows how excited they get about watching, you know, every year we prune and we take it down to what we call two buds, which is very, very short. And to see that grow into something so magnificent, I always say that to me, the vineyard is like an orchestra. There are so many aspects of a musical inspiration that is going on that it is just, it's Mother Nature and all of the harmony going on. It is absolutely fascinating to go through that journey. It really is.
Ooh, and you are the conductor, my dear. You are the conductor doing it all. I love it. And then looking for that crescendo. Crescendo is when the harvest is done. And I don't know.
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated. One thing to know about me, if I was a vineyard maker and, you know, I owned a vineyard and I was a winemaker, it's like I would drink half most of the inventory. So that would be a real problem when you're trying to sell wine. Because have you always been a foodie or someone interested in wine? Or was it solely the Tuscan trip that took you on this amazing journey? And I know there's good and bad that comes with being a winemaker and owning a vineyard. But right now, did you guys love wine, or was it just all of a sudden, or has this always been a passion of yours?
I would say that it came on all of a sudden. I think there are innate abilities that one have, and until the right situation presents itself, do you know that you have that talent and the strength to go out and do it? One of the things that I found, I've totally had to come out of my comfort zone, but I always loved and could smell different things. I didn't know where that came from until recently. I found out that my grandma was a winemaker. My father is an exceptional chef. So I think my palate and my ability to smell things came from that side of the family. With that being said, when you're presented with challenges that you didn't know that you were going to face, if one thing I've learned through this journey is that you can do it. And everything that you have gone through, from me being the little tomboy going into the Air Force and then on as a human resource, I tell people my background's human resource, not science, so I don't know how I do this. I just know that I can do it. But all of that had built me up and prepared me for this journey that I started taking at 54. So it's amazing how everything comes full circle. And I have to give a shout out to all of the people who knew I could do this before I knew I could do it, and that had the encouragement, one being my husband, my family, but also other men and women who supported me, indicating that I could go out and make wine, and that they knew I had the talent before I did.
I love it. Well, I want to make sure, Denise, our listeners heard that you actually started this vineyard, because you shared it publicly, so I hope I'm not outing you. Because you've said you started this vineyard at 54, so it wasn't like this was your first rodeo or, you know, your first, like, early career days. I mean, what I want all of our listeners to know is you can make a change. But I'm curious to know, because we only have, I wish we could have hours here, But, you know, we've made it sound so beautiful and so wonderful. And, you know, for any of our listeners out there, and I'm a small business owner, it may look all nice and pretty on the front end, but there is a lot of work that goes in with running a small business. Can you touch on maybe some of the things that were really hard lessons learned for our listeners who either, one, may be thinking of starting a business or wanting to make a change, but what kind of, I guess, roadblocks did you face as you, you know, started this winery and your vineyard, and you started to craft or grow wine, grow grapes. Oh my goodness,
that's a great point. Fortunately, I'm married to an attorney, so he handled a lot of the legal.
Oh, I'm sorry, Denise. Are you still there? I think we might have lost Denise, but I know she was going to talk to us about her journey on being a vineyard and a winemaker. And, you know, Denise came from, let me read a little bit about her bio, is Denise actually met her current husband in 1990. They have two daughters. Peter, actually her husband, had a 76-room hotel, and he was a practicing attorney. But they went to visit in Tuscany to see wine and the countryside, and evidently they fell in love with wine. And I think Denise is back with us. So, Denise, are you back with us? Because I think we lost you for a moment. Denise, are you still there? Are you with us, Denise?
I am here. I'm here.
Okay, we lost you for a moment. I was given a little bit of your background about, you know, on your bio, but I think we were on the part. We'll just go with the idea that this was perfect and planned, that when you have challenges like we just did on the radio, that we come back and we get at it. So that's where we're at, is for you to talk about the challenges, because I have them too. We do if we're running a business.
The challenges were, I would say, first and foremost, we had no experience at running a winery or a vineyard or what that would entail. I think the biggest thing that I would give advice on, talk to as many people as you can that are already in an industry or an area that you want to pursue, because with that, it will help guide you in terms of knowing what the legalities are to the business that you want to get into. What are some of the positive and the negatives of the business that you want to get into? And don't be afraid to collaborate with other people. I have mentors as far away as Amador County that talk to me, that are on large-scale vineyards and wineries down to the boutique at my level. But the one thing that we all share in common is that we're trying to put out a superior product. So let's say if there's some legislative aspects to the business that is coming online, there is power in numbers. So you may have to get together and formulate a organization so that you can have a seat at the table to talk to your legislators about these are the challenges that we face in terms of zoning or the ABC rules, which controls, you know, how we distribute our wines and the all of the legal questions affecting wine or interstate transfer of and commerce. If you're shipping wine out of state to other states, what are the requirements in those other states? So collaborating with other people that are in that same area as yourself, I think is very, very key.
That's good advice, because I do know, even if it can have to do with even just how you grow. I mean, there's requirements and there's government regulations that come down, and, you know, I think that's fascinating. But, you know, turning to you, just for the benefit of our listeners, what have been maybe one or two of the really hardest lessons that you've learned in ramping up and building your business? I mean, again, it's not all perfect, and I don't think any of us are void of challenges or adversity. Can you share a couple and maybe what have been maybe the outcomes or the biggest lessons learned or ahas or workarounds that you've dealt with in building your business?
I think the biggest thing, challenges for us have been, we grew faster than I anticipated. We do have a winery. We're open to the general public, and it's having enough product to sustain your business, to be open that next year, to cover, because most of the time the product that we're making in 2017 won't be ready until 2019 or 2020. And so you have to plan on that stream of income. How do you pay your bills and while you're nurturing your product to sell to your consumer? So those have been some challenges. We've made so many adjustments, not major adjustments, but just constantly being able to anticipate what our market share is, how do we market to our consumers, and word of mouth has really been one of our best selling points. We have people all the way, customers in New York, we have customers even overseas, and it has been the best marketing tool that we can have. But putting yourself really out there, I think that has been part of the biggest challenges, is how do you grow a business from being a startup in an industry that you have no expertise in? And that's where I go back to talk to a lot of people. Talk to a lot of people in the industry, and not just winemakers. I didn't just talk to winemakers. I talked to distributors. I spoke with people who handles our packaging, our bottles, our labeling, because they all bring something to the table. And those introductions to different people also open doors of when you least expect that you're going to get an introduction to someone that can actually shed some light on what you're doing. So I think those are really key points in terms of everything is about a relationship business to me, and the relationships that I have developed and still continue to develop has been huge and significant in helping me to grow our business.
I think that's awesome. You know, and so one of the questions I love to ask business owners that are building and looking to kind of take their business to whatever level, grandiose or, you know, moderate they want. I mean, what are you, like, your big vision for the winery is what? You know, I mean, you started at 54, which I think is phenomenal. You know, I'm on my third rodeo as a business venture. I can tell you 20,000 things of what not to do, and yet I know there are things that have been really key and central to my success. For you, it's like, what do you hope happens with, you know, the vineyard and the winery? I mean, are you looking to build it and sell it, or can you kind of share what your long-term vision is for the winery and kind of like your game plan, if you will, of what you're going to do to get there without telling things that are top secret? I totally get that. But what's the big vision for you?
I see. When we purchased this property, we looked for a year, and it was my diamond in the rough. I have been so fortunate to really come and see this place grow full circle. And with that said, I want to leave a legacy for my grandchildren. This is a wonderful industry to be in. I have there's just so many potential, so much potential of what we can do here, whether it's buying more land to become larger, or whether it is to keep it as a small winery where the kids can take this over at some point in time. That's really my big dream. I've always loved the idea of having the family involved. It definitely has shown our two daughters, who are both successful in their own rights, but it has shown them. Mom was at 54 when she started a new career. Now she's at 62.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting started. I'm so excited about all of the possibilities of what I could do. I turn 62 next March, and I'm like, woohoo, I'm just really doing this.
But at the same time,
it's really showing the girls that they can, whether it's my three granddaughters or my grandson, you can really go out and accomplish great things. If you put your mind to it, if you have the perseverance, and you need to surround yourself with people who are like-minded. If I haven't learned anything in this business, that's what I have learned.
I was going to, and so here's my, and I love that, that, you know, seriously, I would love for you to expand on that, Denise, that, you know, when you say finding people that are like-minded, you know, what, I know you talked about, you know, talking to vendors and suppliers and distributors and that kind of thing and other people within the industry and getting together, you know, to find that collective, almost collective juju, right, for public policy
right.
or regulations, but what would be some other tips you would say, like if our listeners are looking to find other, you know, individuals, if they're looking to start a business or they just want some like-mindedness, what would be some tips you'd have in going to find those types of individuals? What did you do and what advice would you give our listeners? It's a great point.
I stayed in my warm market and worked my warm market and told people what I was doing. And it was, I was so surprised, the connections. Everyone is connected one way or another, but I am mm-hmm. constantly surprised by my warm market of friends or circle of friends that have led me to other people that were where that door opened up at the right time that I needed it to open up. For example, I was introduced to several people this year by, and I don't believe anything happens just by chance. So I was made,
right.
I'm given these introductions, and it has been amazing, those doors that have opened up as a result of it, and which will long range, it's nothing more than as guidance as to where I go for that next level or opening up another door that I didn't even know was possible to walk through. So I started with people that I knew. Our neighbor, Paul Calicarian, his wife, Rosemary, they were instrumental in encouraging us to get into this business once we told them we were going to plant the vineyard. Paul and Rosemary started the first Wine of the Month Club, which is, I think they shipped something like 60,000 bottles a month. Their son has taken
wow.
over the industry. So, you know, you have people that are in your circle that you know very well and you know of their background, but once you're in an area of where they can shed some light or introduce you to someone where you that is going to be beneficial for you in terms of giving you guidance on whether it's marketing or just your business plan or just down to where do you buy your labels from or who does your graphics, your social media. There were a
right.
lot of people that were just right there in my inner circle that opened up a lot of those doors. And then after that, it's purely collaboration because we're all small vineyards around here. The average size is probably about a 10-acre zoning. We're not the huge Temecula or Napa, you know, 100, 200-acre parcels. But by putting ourselves all together and collaborating, we have a lot of buying power as well as a lot of resources. People from all walks of life, there's a lot of engineers, there's people who are doctors or pharmacists or lawyers like my husband or an HR specialist like myself. So that down to if you're looking at how do I recruit people for my tasting room? What am I looking for? How do I hire people for the vineyard when you're in a growing industry that didn't have a workforce? We're having to train that workforce from going from avocados and citrus now to the vineyard. So there's just a lot that has happened in the last 10 years that none of us expected we would be doing, really. It's pretty amazing.
You've got a lot to share. I've only got about a couple minutes left, Denise, but I'm really curious on your side, you know, for those women veterans, or even if we know women veterans out there, it's like what, you know, would be your suggestions to any veteran that just says, you know, I mean, I don't know where to turn, not from the standpoint of, I think, you know, none of us really know. We think we know what we want to do in our lives, and yet, like you said, it's like things are presented to you, you know, things come to you in a way after the fire that you said, I mean, how do you go from avocados to wine? That's just crazy. But look what happened. And I'm curious if there would be any advice you would give to, you know, especially since tomorrow is Veterans Day, of other women veterans that are maybe looking for what their next step would be. What would be maybe a few suggestions you'd give to them based on the fact that you've made this journey?
I think that coming out of the military, and I understand that, I understand exactly what you're saying, but one of the best things that women can do is get involved locally, get involved in your church, get involved with organizations where women are empowering women. There is, I have met so many amazing women through networks where women are empowering women. You don't necessarily know what your calling really is. And so sometimes by doing that, it opens up, it just gives you another way of marketing and networking to see what it is that you may want to do. I know for myself, there's, I'd like to think I could mentor someone or be mentored myself. I went to an organization not too long ago, this past summer, where women that had been in our industry was mentoring someone like myself who was just coming into the industry. And that was so powerful to have these women of great mutual success that were, you know, looking at women who were coming up through the ranks and wanting to mentor us and to give them that free time. And so I always say start out by getting involved in your local community. You know, there are a lot of outreach programs here. I know in San Diego County you have your Wounded Warrior programs. You have your organization, Women of Influence. You have...
There you go. That's what I want you to do. No, I'm just teasing.
There you go. But those are really, really important because... You know, women are natural nurturers, and, you know, we're mothers, we're grandmothers, and we forget to take care of ourselves. I can honestly tell you, when I turned 60, that was a big milestone birthday for me. But what it also did, it made me, I didn't realize that I was just kind of going through the motion until until I hit that 60, and I said, wow. I didn't realize how dead I was, and I got in motion. I started reevaluating where I was, and because we are responsible for our happiness, for things that make us happy and the pursuit, and until we are healthy ourselves, we can't go out and do those wonderful big things that destiny has planned for us. So I say get in motion. Even sometimes when it's painful to get in motion, come outside of your comfort zone, network, and realize, I heard an interesting comment. If you're looking for someone to mentor you, if I was saying, Michelle, I want you to mentor me, it's up to me to come to you because you have a busy schedule as well, but I need to let you know that I'm interested in you being a mentor to me and to share your experiences and help me get to that next level. So that I think that was a huge comment or statement made by a woman that is a mentor, and she said, just realize we're all busy, but if I want you to mentor me, come with what it is that I feel that you can. Here's the challenges I'm facing, and here's where I believe I need some guidance. And don't be afraid to do it. Oh, my goodness. Don't be afraid to ask a question. You know, we tell our kids all the time, there's no stupid question. And that's true. I mean, oh, my goodness. So when I had to ask questions about, well, I don't understand this, help me to understand. And I remember the first year I had to make wine. I really, literally knew what it was to have a nervous breakdown. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong. But I remember calling a friend of mine, Joe Cullen, and I can't thank him enough of the advice he gave me. I said, Joe, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm new at this. Can you share your wisdom with me? I need to be conservative in my approach. And he sat there and took the time to talk to me about yeast and why he uses it and why he uses different products and why he doesn't use this product. And I still have the notes and refer back to that conversation I had with him. And I don't think to this day he realized how much it meant to me that he took the time to do that. So
wow.
There's
that,
people
you know,
who are there for you.
Girl, and look at you, and I think you, I see you as so inspirational and such a powerhouse in a classy way, Denise. I mean, we're out of time. I want to say thank you so much for being our leading lady. I mean, for all of our listeners, if they want to reach out to you or to the winery, it's like, how would you like people to contact you? And most importantly, how would you like people to purchase wine from you? So can you share how you want to be reached or contacted?
Yes, you can go to our website. It's www.altipiano.com. You can purchase wines from us. Our contact information is there. You can email me. I'm always available, and I'm always running around at the winery, so give me a shout-out. I'm always available. So all of my contact information is there. Just shoot me an email, and I always respond to my emails typically within the hour. And I want to
thank
you so much.
Now you're scaring me because I'm on the email management. Oh, my gosh, Denise. You're like putting me to shame. I'm like, really? Within an hour? Oh, that's another whole subject. But you are an absolute delight. I mean, you do not act or look your age. I'm going to tell people that, which I think is a good thing on both fronts. And
well,
to all of
you.
Our listeners, you are so welcome. Thank you. And to all of our listeners, we are here every Friday at 2 p.m., Mondays at 9 a.m. for another Women Lead Radio show. We will be back again with another amazing lady. And one thing, because I love the things Denise said, I always like to just say, as a woman, Denise had some great points, but we can all be more supportive of one another. So on that note, have a great weekend. Say thank you to a veteran and take care of one another as women. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.